Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I've entitled, Take Advantage of God's Life. Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 11, that we are to be all the way delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. If we can wake up to the reality of God's life in us, then I believe we will be able to take full advantage of His life in us, which includes manifested wholeness in our mortal flesh. God never intended for us, as born-again children of God, to suffer in these mortal bodies. Let's take full advantage of God's life in us. I hope that you enjoy this message. I'd like to begin our meeting tonight with prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. We're so grateful and thankful to you for your goodness. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for giving us life. Glory to God. We thank you for life. We thank you for life more abundantly. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're so good to us. Holy Ghost, we thank you for being our teacher, for bringing revelation knowledge into our hearts, for bringing the understanding of these words so that we can benefit and grow and develop in these things. We thank you for it. We come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. We arrest you now in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I believe that the Holy Ghost is going to speak through this mouth, and we're going to receive tonight all that you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. So in the last few messages, what we've been talking about has been the life of God. And as I was preparing here just a few minutes ago, I was just thinking about how of everything that we hear in church, and that as I was growing up and going to church on a regular every week basis, multiple times a week, what are the things that I recall hearing as I was growing up? Well, the things that I recall hearing about generally involved sin. A lot of times it was about sin, and even as an adult in different churches, I've noticed that a lot of focus, a lot of attention is on our personal actions. And are they important? Well, yeah, they are. They're important. We know we shouldn't be running around sinning, doing all kind of bad things. But is that where the focus of our attention should be, to the exclusion of some of the other important areas of the Word of God? Well, I don't believe that's the case. I feel as though we need to be aware that there is sin, that we don't want to commit sin on a habitual basis. There are going to be times we're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things that we're going to be convicted in our hearts about. And what do? We repent. We ask God's forgiveness, and we receive it by faith. But that's not the lion's share of what we should be talking about, I don't believe. I feel like that's only a portion. There's so much more in the Word of God that we need to be aware of, not just aware, but benefiting from. It's almost like, as I've been looking at this subject of the life of God, it's almost as though it's like something that I'm just still not really familiar with, and I should be after all these years. And why is that? It's because we focus our attention in these areas involving our personal actions to the exclusion of some of these important topics, like the life of God and how His life inside of us is supposed to be benefiting us right now. And so what I want to do, I want to continue tonight to talk about this life of God. And I want to begin by looking back at the creation of man in Genesis. I want to focus in on one particular verse, and that's going to be back in Genesis, the second chapter. I'm just going to begin reading here in the seventh verse. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed. Now look at these words right here. This is very important. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Okay, let's stop there. So, in case you have the impression that God was just doing mouth-to-mouth resuscitation on Adam, and that was just God's breath going into him, and that was all that was imparted there, I have news for you. God isn't dependent on one of his own creations, and oxygen is something that he created in this atmosphere for human bodies to benefit from, to live by. It's not something that he's dependent on himself. He's a spirit. Think about this. He's a spirit. So what he is passing on into Adam in this creation event was not oxygen. He was imparting his life, the life of God, into Adam. Well, I want you to think about that. See, God formed the dust of his creation. He had just created the planet, and here he is forming from the very dust that he's created. He's forming his man. And then as this physical body, lifeless, there was no heartbeat, there was nothing. It was just a formed body there on the ground. Until God leans over and imparts from within him life. Life comes from the inside of God and goes into the inside of this physical body he's formed. And what happens? Well, you know as well as I do, those little eyes opened up. Here Adam breathed his first breath. And who is he looking at? He's looking directly into the face of God, his creator, who has just imparted life, his life, into him. So we can fast forward to the book of John, that first chapter, where it talks about Jesus and the life that was in him and how they identify that as light. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So take that and bring that here to this verse. As God breathed the breath of life, here's light in the world. Adam, representing the humanity in the earth, his candle is lit. He is light in the dark. There's no darkness. It's all light. Light everywhere. There's life everywhere. There's light, and he is lit up on the inside. Glory to God. How that must have just been incredible experience. And that was back in the garden. We have an experience in front of us in eternity, where there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And I challenge you to not let that be some kind of a dream that, well, one of these days, maybe, where something's... No, it's definite. If you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you have been lit on the inside with the life of God in your reborn human spirit. You are lit. There's life in you. and you are going to spend eternity with Jesus. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, that is going to be an amazing time. And that's, I mean, we have so much in front of us. We have so much to be excited about. And it's, and we don't have to wait for that sweet by and by in order to begin to enjoy the benefits of who we are. We are sons of the living God, filled with God's life. We are alive with the life of God. We can begin enjoying those benefits right here and right now. We don't have to wait. We don't have to wait for heaven and just suffer through this life. Baloney. I don't believe that. We can enjoy fellowshipping with our Heavenly Father right now. Just, you know, it's not going to be any more real when we're standing there looking at him than right here and now. If you simply will take the time to just worship him, just worship Jesus, thank him. You know, truly, this is the only time that we're going to have the pressure against our flesh to that's trying to get us to not worship the Lord, to not spend time with God. And if we can forego that pressure, if we can win out against the pressure from the enemy and just raise those hands when we don't feel like it and worship Jesus, praise God. Yeah, we won't have that pressure in heaven. It'll be easy then. You know, and now's the time that we really show what we're made of when we, no matter what the pressure is, when we will raise our hands and we'll thank God for his goodness and we'll worship him and we'll glorify him. Hallelujah. Because we know where we're going. We know who we belong to. We know that we are children of the Most High God. Hallelujah. That we're born of God. We're filled with his life. You know, what more could God have done for us? I mean, think about it. What more could God have done? He brought us in his family. He made us his children. He gave us the rights as the firstborn. And I'm telling you, that's the rights to his kingdom. And he gave that to us as we identify in Jesus. He gave us all these things. And yet, you know, what happens to us here? Well, we're oblivious to his life. We don't think about it. What do we think about? Well, we think about sin. We think about the mistakes we make. You know, that's just focusing on yourself is what that boils down to. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes on Jesus. He's the one that paid the price for you. He's the one that delivered you out of sin. And said, well, I just keep sinning. Well, stop it. You know, sin as a born-again child of God is a choice that you don't have to do that. You can say no, and the devil can't make you. So, what do we need to be doing? We need to be thanking God. Thank you, Father, for the life that you've given me. Thank you, God, that I am born of you. I have your spirit inside of me. There is a river, there is a well of water springing up to everlasting life. There is a river that flows out of me. Glory. I am filled with light, and the life of God permeates every part of my being. When I walk into a room, light comes into that room because I am a carrier of the life of God. I'm a carrier. Of God, I am wall to wall with the life of God right here inside of me. You see, I need to wake up to this reality. I need to wake up that wherever my foot treads, I am carrying God's life in this world. See, that's what he intended. He intended for his body in this world, born again children of God, His body, to walk and to take this darkness back and turn it to light. Hallelujah. By spreading this gospel. Thank you, Jesus. So here we had Adam in the garden. His light was turned on. There was life in him. There was life all around him. There was a tree of life that he could freely partake of. So, and here's what I want to really draw your attention to. You know, what I brought out here at the beginning. What do we talk about so often? Our actions, our sin, where we've missed it, blah, 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 where, you know, God can't use us because of this. I mean, these are the thoughts that we have. And so that's the, for a lot of Christians, that's the lion's share of what they think about and meditate on is their actions. Well, here we're talking about the life of God. How often are we thinking about the fact that we have God's life within us? Are we even thinking about it? Are we even meditating on that? Is it even a thought in our mind, or are we just so wrapped up in our own actions and sin or shortcomings in our life, where we failed, where we missed the mark, or whatever? My point is, we're going to see again tonight how much the Bible talks about this life and how we have this life in Jesus, and how important it is that we recognize that this life is within us and it is giving life to this mortal body if we will simply believe that it is. And yeah, I'm challenged with that myself, believing that the life of God can permeate me in this physical body and give life to this physical body. Glory to God. And why isn't it that we're not all thinking this way? It's because we've been fed a message about our actions and our sin, and instead of the life of God that Adam lost in the garden and that Jesus brought to this world to give to us through his death, burial, and resurrection, we received the life of God. How important is it, this life? It's everything. It's so important. It's so important. And we need to understand how important it is and appreciate the fact that we have God's life within us. Hallelujah. So that's Genesis. And let's go over to John. We're not going to look at all the verses like we did last week out of John, but let's just draw your attention just kind of to head in this direction again in the first chapter of John. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. This verse, the life was the light of men, this verse speaks of Jesus as He has come, as the Word in heaven had life. Now we see Jesus on this earth having life that he would make available to mankind, to light mankind. That's what we see right here in this verse. If you jump over to the fifth chapter, it says it. John says it even more clearly in the 26th verse of John 5. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He's the Son of Man. So the Father had life and gave to the Son to have life. If you look through the book of John, like we did last week, you'll find many references to this life, many times that John refers to this life. I want to go over to Romans 8 now. Verse over here in Romans 8 that I think we need to look at. And it's the 10th verse of Romans 8. And it says, "And if Christ be in you," is Christ in you? "If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin." Okay? Now, why is that? Let's stop there and talk about that for just a minute. Why is the body dead because of sin? Well, when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you're through substitution and identification, you identify with Him as your substitute on that cross. In other words, He died in your place. When you identify in Him, what happens is that the fact that He died the death in your place is put on your account, and you are accounted in your physical body as dead. You died the death of the cross in Christ. So let's look at this verse with that in mind. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead." You know, notice how it says it is dead. It is dead right now, currently, present tense. Not past tense, not future tense. "The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life." Now, let's look at that. Because of righteousness. The Spirit, the human spirit, we're not talking about the Holy Spirit here. We're talking about your human spirit. When you make Jesus Lord, the body is accounted as dead, but your human spirit, that's the real you. That's who you are. Your spirit is, and it doesn't say alive. It says your spirit is life. Life. Life because of righteousness. You're lit with the life of God. Praise God. Is this subject important? Heavens, yes. And yet we have almost ignored its importance. Or as I said last week, we have identified with it only in the respect of eternal life, being. Well, that's whenever I leave this planet. That's whenever I'm in heaven with Jesus. And so when we've seen the terminology eternal life, it's almost like it has gained a definition in our minds and our understanding that it really doesn't, it's only a partial. You know, it's only in our mind only referring to when we leave this planet and spend eternity with Jesus. Eternal life, that's that. That's what that means. No, it doesn't mean that. Let me take that back. It does, but it means so much more than that, because it means life for us here, right now. See, God was so wonderful in making sure that in our reborn human spirit that we have life. We have His life within us, and the benefit of it is that His life in us gives life to these physical bodies. Glory to God. See, here's where healing should just be an automatic for a born-again child of God. And yet we struggle with it. We're off looking for somebody that can pray for us, pray the prayer of faith, and yet we have God's life in us. And I want to draw your attention to this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're looking at verse 11. 4:11. Look at what this verse says. "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake." And that word always is, it should be all way, all the way, completely. Not always like in frequency, but all way meaning in its entirety. "We're delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life," look at this, "the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Think about that. What were we talking about here? We're talking about life manifesting in our mortal flesh. Here again is another verse supporting this idea, not idea, but this principle of God's life permeating us. I mean, and you can understand that, can't you? That, you know, if something is filled with God's life, that it's going to permeate every part of that the thing that it is inside of. God's life isn't going to be encapsulated in your spirit without influencing your body. But if you're not believing that, if you're convinced of sickness and disease, guess what? You're going to experience sickness and disease. Now, the temptation may come for you to grab hold of sickness and disease, but you need to resist it and draw from that life source that's within you, giving life to the mortal body. Glory to God. Jesus has made a way for us to come against these sicknesses. If we will only believe what the Word of God says, look at this verse one more time, verse 11. For we which live are all the way, delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus, his life in us, might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Glory to God. So right there, let's just stop and let's just kind of meditate on that just for a minute. Let's let mull on that. Let that roll over on the inside of you. God's life, it's not just sitting there inside of you with no potential to do anything. No. God's life in you has limitless potential. Limitless. Limitless. I mean, we're talking about God here. The only thing that limits God is our unbelief, not him, not his ability. His ability is limitless. We are the ones that place limits. We place boundaries. We don't expect, and as a result, we don't have. If we only begin to take him at his word and believe for this life to inside of us to permeate these physical bodies. Believe it. Say, well, Mark, I can't. I've got symptoms in my body. I can't do that. Well, talk to the symptom. Tell it to get out of your body and draw from his life. Just on purpose, with this verse here in mind. Say, God, I thank you for your life permeating this physical body. I thank you for it. See, now you're acting in faith. Now you're believing what God's word says and you're acting on it, and that will produce results. Here's what won't produce results. God, I'm just begging you, please, can you just take this pain from me? There's no faith in that kind of praying. There's, you know, particularly when we're talking about a born-again person, you know, begging God when all the time the Word of God says that by Jesus' stripes, we were healed. So for us to go around begging God to do something that he's already done in Jesus, there's no faith in it. There can't be, because it's not in line with God's Word. The only time that there's faith release is whenever we're believing his word and we're acting on it. Now faith is being released. Now we can see results. And see, here's the reason why people's prayers, they aren't being answered. And who gets the blame for it? Well, God does. He didn't, you know, so-and-so, we prayed and they died. And all you have to do is say, well, What kind of praying were you doing? Were you commanding the sickness off their body because of the authority you have in Jesus? Were you speaking life? Were you teaching that person how to draw from the life of God in the reborn human spirit? No, we were just begging God to heal them. Well, there's your answer. You know, that. You know, just because you're begging God, expecting Him to do something, doesn't obligate Him to do anything. He's not obligated to anything except His Word. That's what obligates Him, His Word. And what we have to do is take Him at His Word and believe it. He said that life, He said this through the Apostle Paul, He said that life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Here we have God at His, taking Him at His Word. Here we have the Word telling us that life coming out of our reborn human spirit is going to affect, is going to impact our mortal flesh if we will believe these words. And I'm speaking this, teaching this to me as much as to anybody else. You have to believe this. And that's what makes it work. Acting on these things. Acting on what the Word of God says. Alright, let me go through a few other verses. I wrote some verses down here. I'm just going to go through here and read some of these. And all I'm doing is just drawing your attention as I read these verses. I just want to draw your attention to the abundance of scriptures talking about life, talking about this eternal life. The New Testament is chock full of these. How we haven't heard more messages, messages upon messages about the life inside of us giving life to our mortal body, I do not know. It's almost like people have put blinders on and read the New Testament. Because, you know, this type of message, we should hear this kind of message all the time. And yet we're not hearing those kind of messages. We're hearing more about our actions and less about what He's done for us, what He's provided for us, the life that He's giving us. You know, people want to argue if healing has passed away. It couldn't have. Because we have His life within us. See, right there, that shows you that, you know, whole denominations have got no idea about this life of God. They're not looking at the Bible when they're reading these things. They're saying these things. They couldn't. There's too many verses that tell us about His life in us and what His life in us will do. And if we ignore these verses, well, they're not going to work for you. Then you can just go back to begging God, and then whenever the person dies, then you can just say, well, I guess it wasn't God's timing. I guess God wanted so-and-so in heaven more than He wanted that person here on earth. Just a bunch of hogwash. And it's only because people don't read the Bible. That's just all there is to it. So let me go through and read some more verses. Galatians chapter 3, verse 21. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Look at the subject of that verse. It's about the law and its inability to do what? Give life. What was the crux of that verse? The life. What we needed was life. What we had was death and darkness. And so Jesus came and redeemed us out of death by becoming sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so here this verse says that is the law against the promises of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But it wasn't. Righteousness wasn't by the law. Righteousness came and through Jesus, and we were made righteous. And that was his gift to us. Glory to God. Now, let me go to another verse here. Galatians 6:8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. How many times have we read through these verses and not recognized the importance of this life and how dominant this topic of life is throughout the New Testament? God wants us to know that he has given us his life. Our reborn human spirit is, it's alive with the life of God. Hallelujah. Let me read a couple other ones here. 1 Timothy 6:2. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on it. Don't let it go. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of this eternal life. You know, what does that give you the idea? Does that give you the idea that there's not going to be any resistance from the enemy heavens? No. That tells me there's going to be resistance. That there's going to be a necessity for me to fight the good fight of faith. That I'm going to have to learn how to release my faith. I'm going to have to learn how to come against the enemy in faith and see and put him in his place. In my life, put the enemy in his place. That's what this is telling me. And that I am to lay hold on this eternal life. See, I think for most Christians, eternal life is, oh, well, you know, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to have eternal life. No, you have it now. And you need to lay hold. There needs to be a purpose, a determination on the inside of you of laying a hold on this, of drawing the benefit out of life in your life. Seeing that benefit. Glory to God. Let's go on here. Titus chapter 1:2. In hope of eternal life. Let me go over to that verse and let's read the verse before that one. Titus, let's start off in chapter 1:1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. And think about that verse. I know that one. That one stood out to me. God, who cannot lie, he made promise of this before the world began. Well, that's powerful. And for us to not hear about these, about this message of life, to not be benefiting from this, well, it's wrong. It's just wrong. We need to be benefiting, taking advantage of the life of God on the inside of us, because it cost Jesus a very high price in order for us to have this life. Now let's go over to 1 John. Remember, we looked last week at the Gospel of John, and we saw the various places, the various ways that Paul described God, the Holy Ghost, through the apostle or through John, spoke about this life, how he talked about the well of water springing up to everlasting life, how he talked about the rivers of living water coming out of us. So the same writer, well, the Holy Ghost, the same, but the same one that penned the gospel, here is penning the letters, the epistles, here in the first epistle of John, look at the similarity in what he wrote here in comparison to what he wrote in the Gospels. Chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. Look at the way that says this last part. Of the word of life. Of the word of life. See, isn't that interesting how that is phrased there? Because when you're starting off there, that which was from the beginning, what is that speaking of to you? Well, it's talking to us about the word. You have God, Jehovah, you have the Word, and you have the Holy Ghost. This is talking about the Word in heaven from the beginning, in the beginning. That which was from the beginning, the Word, is from the which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. Well, now we're talking about Jesus. See, isn't that something how this verse begins with talking about the Word, and then it goes from that talking about Jesus as he walked on this earth. And then it finishes up. Look at the wording at the end of this verse. I want to read up to it. Which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. Clearly, we're talking about Jesus in his physical, bodily form of the word of life. Now that really caught my attention. Of the word of life. See, when it's talking about of someone or some, you know, being of someone, it's like, for example, you have a child. That child is of his parents. Did you follow that? You know, you have little Johnny, you have his mom and dad, and Johnny is of his parents. He's the offspring. He's of them. He came of the mother and the father. So with that in mind, look at the terminology here. Read it one more time. That which was from the beginning. See, that part right there, we have identified the Word. The Word was in the beginning. And that's what you can see that if you go back here. And I think it's very important that we see these things and don't just read over these verses, because, you know, that's what most preachers will do. They don't really understand something. They just read right over it. Well, let's look at it. If you go back to the Gospel of John, the first verse, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. All right? Notice the similarity if you go back to the epistle in the first verse of chapter 1, that which was from the beginning. All right? Well, all you have to do is go back to the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word. That which was from the beginning must be talking about the Word. Okay, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Now talking about Jesus. And then it says, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. Now look at the terminology and think about in the beginning was the Word. And look at what it says here. And our hands have handled of the Word of life, of the Word of life. Well, I tell you, that's something to meditate on right there. That's something to think about. You know, you see the Word in heaven, you see Jesus on this earth, and you see the terminology of the Word of life. Well, that's one of those things that I don't know that we're going to really completely understand this verse until we're looking at him face to face. I don't know that we can grasp what the whole magnitude of what that verse is saying until we're standing there looking at him and he can reveal that to us. I don't know. Look at verse 2. For the life was manifested. What are we talking about here? The life. And see how important this is. It doesn't say Jesus here. I mean, we know we're talking about Jesus, for the life was manifested. We know we're talking about Jesus was manifested in the flesh. But notice how John, the Holy Ghost through John, instead of saying Jesus, instead of saying Jesus was manifested and we have seen and bear witness, instead of that, what do we see? We see the word life. For the life was manifested. Think of the significance of this. What is the Holy Ghost trying to get over to us? That that what Adam lost, when he lost the life of God, he lost it, boy. He lost everything. And when Jesus came, when Jesus stepped foot on this earth, he carried with him life. And this life, here we see the significance of the how important his mission was. What was his mission? Was his mission, now follow me here, don't let me lose you. Was his mission simply about our sin? That was only one aspect of it. It was not the complete total package. It was not just about our sin and dealing with sin. No. No, it wasn't. It was an aspect of his mission, but you can't focus on sin to the exclusion of life. Sin got dealt with so that we could receive this reborn human spirit with the life of God. God wanted us to have life. He wanted us to have his life within us. This is how important the life is. And look at how it says it here, verse 2, 1 John chapter 1. For the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness. You know that word it at the end there? If you notice, it's italicized. That means that the translators added it. I just leave it out because what he's talking about here is not an it, it's a him. It's Jesus. For the life was manifested, and we have seen him and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. It was manifested in a person. His name, Jesus. Glory to God. Now let me go over here to the fifth chapter of John. There's a couple of verses here I want to bring to your attention. John chapter, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. How important is the life of God? It's everything. It's everything. It puts us in communication with God. It puts us in his family. He's in us. We're in him. You can't separate. I said this last week and it bears repeating. You can't separate God in his life. God and his life are synonymous. So if his life is in us, guess who's in us? Glory to God. You know, people pray thinking God's out there in the periphery somewhere, somewhere off, you know, millennials away from us. No. If you're born again, you're wall to wall with his life, and him and his life, they're one. Boy, I tell you, that's good news. You don't have to holler and beg and plead to get God's attention because he's off so far away he can't hear you. No. He's right here. He's resident within us. His life is within us. Glory to God. As we finish up this evening, I just want to draw your attention to the last chapter of the Bible. And here we're going to notice something. You know, you think when you have this book, you're going to close it out, you're going to bring it into its conclusion. What are you going to talk about? Aren't you going to bring this topic to a conclusion by focusing on the very important things of this book? Well, certainly you are. And that's exactly what God did. He brought our attention here at the end in chapter 22, the book of Revelation. He spoke about life. He spoke about eternal life. Because this was what man was void of, life. Man was full of death, darkness. Darkness. There was no way out for man until Jesus came and brought us life. Thank you, God. Thank you for life. Thank you. Now let's just look here. You know, we only have a few minutes left, but I just want to quickly go through these verses in the 22nd chapter. You can read them on your own. And just allow these words to paint pictures on the inside of you of life and the importance of God's life in you. Verse 1, chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Can you see that? Can you see that life flowing out? That river of life, crystal clear. Can you see that? See, that's not just for us to take advantage of in heaven. Thank God. Thank God for heaven. Thank God for the new heaven and the new earth. Thank God for all that. But I tell you what, he wants us to take advantage now of this life. He wants us to benefit from this life right now. All right, let's go over to, we'll keep reading verse 2. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Let's go down to verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, this is Jesus talking, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Let's just stop right there. See that tree of life that was blocked in the garden? Wait, you have to think about that. You have to think that back in that garden, Adam could just walk over, you know, just take a bite of the fruit from that tree and just be invigorated. But even I say that, and I'm thinking to myself, but how could he have even been tired? I mean, all around him is life. He's full of life, and he's partaking of the tree of life. I mean, it's just life is everywhere. See, with God, there's no death. Everywhere is life. There's a river of life. There's trees of life. Everywhere is life. It is only in this world that is still experiencing the effects of the curse that death exists. But for us who are born again, we have life here. You know, think, I want you to think about this. This just flashed in my spirit just as I said it. We are surrounded with people that don't have God's life in them. We are surrounded. No wonder people are sick and dying. They do not have God's life within them. We who are born again do. Why is it that we aren't taking advantage, full advantage of this life within us? And not only for ourselves, but ministering, from this life, ministering this to other people. It's because we haven't had enough teaching, enough people standing up and drawing our attention to these verses, telling us of how important God's life is and how we are filled with His life. His life, I am permeated wall to wall with the life of God. And now, and here we see that in eternity, we're just going to be able to walk up, grab a piece of fruit off the tree of life and partake of it. We can drink of the waters of the river of life. But here on earth, I have a wellspring of water springing up to everlasting life. I need to be drawing from this well. I need to be experiencing this. How do I do it? By believing that it's there, believing that it's benefiting me, drawing on purpose from this well, drawing of this life of God. Okay, and this would be our last verse. Two verses here. Verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And if any man, verse 19, shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. What's the name of this book? It is the book of death. No, it's not. It's the book of life. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for his life. Thank God for his life. Thank God that we don't have to live under death. That we have God's life within us. And it gives life to these mortal bodies. Hallelujah. You need to rejoice about this. You need to thank God. Hallelujah. He didn't leave you here to get your brains beat out by the enemy. He's given you victory in Jesus and his life. He has invested into your reborn human spirit. Glory to God. God has done everything. He is a good father. And he loves us very much. I hope that blessed you this evening. I want to pray for you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for the tree of life. Thank you, Father, that we can partake of life. Hallelujah. That we can experience life here on earth, coming through this reborn human spirit, giving life to these mortal bodies. Thank you, Father. Father, you are a good Father, and you have blessed us. Thank you. Father, I believe that the people hearing this message are going to apply what they hear. They're going to take these words and they're going to be life to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.